Hello, everybody. Welcome back to yet another episode of Thank God That Game Is Over, Ottawa. I am Charlie, your host for the evening. This was a game that Maude was supposed to do. Unfortunately, she's got COVID, so she's taking the night off, resting up. Hopefully, she feels better soon. So, hope we can all wish Maude a speedy recovery from being sick. So. Like you couldn't have gotten sick on like a night of a 7 p.m. win. It's okay. I hope you're feeling better. In the last, I guess that would be what, 3 nights? Because the Canucks game was on Tuesday. In the last 3 nights, I've watched the Sens lose by a combined score of I can do math. 10-4. It's staying up until well past midnight for both. Awful. Anyway, Sens lose to the Seattle Kraken 4-1. That's Sens hockey, baby. That's Sens hockey. Right off the top, I'm gonna start a fight. I don't want to start a fight. I tweeted out earlier tonight during the game where I wonder where all the it's the goalie that's the problem people are tonight, because 4-1 loss, one of the four goals being an empty netter. Like Korpisalo, if it weren't for Korpisalo, I know I keep saying this. If it wasn't for Korpisalo, it would be like 5-6-0. All three Seattle goals were just awful, awful defensive collapses. All three goals, two of them being breakaways, all three goals were a result of someone being in front of the net completely on their own, uncontested. The first goal being, I don't know if I want to rank them. I was going to say the first goal being the worst one, but the first goal was a result of two awful, awful turnovers. Majority of the night, the pairings were Chychrun with Sanderson and Shabbat with Zub. But for whatever reason, on that first goal in the first period, it was Chychrun and Shabbat out on the ice together. Chychrun was trying to pass it to a forward, and it was blocked by, I don't remember who that would have been. I don't know if it was Bjorkstrand or not, but Chychrun's trying to pass it up to a forward, sort of around the defensive blue line, and the pass is blocked by the only Seattle player within 30 feet in any direction. And then he fires it wide. There's a puck battle in the corner. Shabbat loses that puck battle despite the fact that there are three Sens players sort of in that corner. One Seattle player there wins that puck battle, finds the open man, fires on net. Then there's a rebound, and then I think was that first goal? Was that Gourde? Was that Yanni Gourde? Let me double check here. Yeah, so Yanni Gourde. Then he cuts in front of the net, gets that rebound, pots it in there. Completely uncontested from the defense. And it doesn't even matter if Gord had even just flown in like that, because there was another Kraken player alone next to Korpisalo, just a little bit further to Korpisalo's right. So even if Gord hadn't flown in and gotten that loose puck, I don't doubt that whoever that was parked in front of the net on the other side would have gotten to it as well. So completely uncontested, alone in front of the net. Then the next two goals that Seattle scores, being breakaways, also both resulting from giveaways. That's first of the two breakaway goals. Let me double check the stuff here. That Thomas Tatar breakaway, that was a result of a giveaway granted 30 seconds before. So like, there's like a little bit of the whole like, well, Seattle got possession 30 seconds before from a giveaway, and then that turned into a goal. It wasn't like a direct anyway. Yeah, just oh. So Tatar scores in that breakaway. Like, all it took was the puck slipping past one defenseman on the defensive blue line, and it's a wide open zone. I think that was Shabbat who was beat there, had the puck kind of shoved between his legs, and Zub wasn't really pinching up. He was just kind of hanging out at the blue line on the far right side, whereas Shabbat had the puck slip by him over on the left. So Tatar had a ton of room, breakaway, fires it in. And then the last Seattle breakaway, Burakovsky, that was, again, like the others, from a giveaway. So just a brutal, brutal turnover. So, like, you can look at, and like, okay, so I want to circle back real quick, and then we're going to talk about other stuff. I'm done talking about the whole goalie versus defense after this one. Forsberg and Korpisalo have both been, they've both underachieved, but they haven't been nearly as bad as the defense. I don't put any of the three goals that got past Korpisalo on him tonight. Two breakaways, and the other one is still a goal that was allowed because a Seattle player got in tight on him, completely uncontested, getting the rebound. There's you can't blame him on any of those. So 4-1 Seattle win, one on the empty net, three goals. So out of those four goals, you can't blame any of them on Korpisalo. He wasn't in the net for one of them. And the other three, like, what are you going to do? Two breakaways and a guy going in on his own. Anyway, Parker Kelly scores the lone Sens goal. That was following two solid shifts of offensive, just consistent offensive pressure. Kubalik fires from the point. I think it was Kubalik, and it's kind of trickling through the crease. Kelly shoves it in. Yeah. Well, that was the game. That was the game. We're going to be talking about just general Sens problems, I think, for quite a bit of the show. A couple things of note, though, from today. One, that was Jacques Martin's 700th game as head coach of the Sens. So that's interesting. And Brady Tkachuk named the representative for the Sens going to the All-Star game. I understand why it's Brady going to the All-Star game. My personal pick from the team this year so far would be Claude Giroux. But also, like, if I'm Giroux, I want the, like, 10 or so days off. Like, I understand why it's Brady. Like, even if Brady wasn't having a very good season, like, he's still having a solid season. Stats-wise, like he's scoring at a really great pace. Like, he's like the Tkachuk brothers kind of have to be there, I guess. So there you go. Tkachuk's going to the All-Star game. And I'm sure there's going to be a push to try and vote probably Stützle in, even though as it's being said here in the chat, Stützle looked super bad tonight. Stützle, I don't know what's going on. I was someone who was really, really dunking on people or attempting to early on this season, when people were saying Stützle doesn't look good. Because to me, he looked fine early on in the season. If we're talking, like, you know, first 20 games, give or take, I think he had something. He had what, like, close to 25 points in the first 20 games, give or take, something like that. And yeah, he clearly wasn't playing, you know, at his best. But what I took away from that was the fact that this guy is playing at, he's well above a point per game, clearly not playing at his best. But he, as it turns out, he also wasn't playing at his worst. He's been, he's just kind of been bad for a few games now. I'm trying to figure out the right way to word this, because there's, like, tiers to it, right? There's he's been bad, and then there's, like, not good, which isn't necessarily bad. It just isn't good. So he's been not good for a good chunk of the last dozen or so games. But he's been he's been pretty bad for the last few games. And I think we as a fan base are all in agreement that something is off with him. Like he must have some kind of injury with his wrist. He's got that taped up. He's not shooting. When he does shoot, it's not good. So I don't know. I'm back and forth right now. I have a lot of people trying to convince me to be on Team Tank. I don't have it in me to be Team Tank at this point. It's been so long since this team was good. I can't be on Team Tank. I am, however, very much on Team Indifferent. So a lot of people are mad about like the moral victory of tonight, where it looked like Ottawa was probably the better team for a majority of the game and just got burned because Seattle scored on all of Ottawa's mistakes. Fine. It's 2024. This team's been probably completely out of the playoff picture since early December, and that's with this team hardly playing in November. I'm so far past the point of getting mad about the moral victories. Not to say that that's me looking down on people who are still mad that like about the whole moral victory thing. No, it's, you're completely right to be mad about that. Saying I don't care is too strong of a thing to say. I do care. I just can't be bothered to rile myself up about this team continuing to lose. They're losing. They're going to keep losing. And that's just the way that the season has been playing out and is probably going to continue playing out. So I'm not too concerned about that. It's nice that we kind of got to see a slightly better game from them. I would say a considerably better game actually compared to that Vancouver game, at least the first period. In that Vancouver game, they probably should have won that had it not been for that nightmare of the first 20 minutes. But ask the chat, how many of you are on Team Tank? How many of you are on just ride out the rest of the season and see what this team can be in the remaining give or take 40-ish games? Whatever you guys think. From Dennis in the chat, Jacques should step down, in my opinion. He's just too old. Agree to disagree. I don't think the right move is to keep him in as the coach for the remainder of the season. I wouldn't be surprised if that's what happens. But like, it's a brutal mix for this team, because this is a team that's had a coach who's kind of let them get away with whatever they want for the last 5 years. There's been like zero accountability under DJ Smith. And you could see that when it was one, I don't know if it was the first game that Jacques and Alfie were behind the bench, but it was one of, if not the first game where, Alfie was giving Kastelic an earful. Like Kastelic, I don't remember exactly what the play was. Either Kastelic, I think it was maybe Kastelic not finishing his hits, just in the defensive zone. And Alfie was just like giving him an earful. And you could see Kastelic on the bench, like looking at Alfie, like, what is happening? This has never happened before. So I don't think you can look at the results under Jacques and be like, this is Jacques as a coach. This is a team that still has to take a lot of time to get rid of those bad habits and just lack of accountability built under DJ Smith from the past 5 years. So I do think it's a good idea to bring in a full-time coach, like bring in that actual permanent replacement as soon as you can. I don't know if they will, but these guys, and I mean, that's the thing too, right? Like these players know that Jacques is the interim coach. Like he's, and like, I don't think he's too old necessarily. He's definitely among the oldest coaches ever. You know, suddenly being the interim coach this season, but He's not going to be the full-time coach, obviously. He's not going to be coaching this team next season. So why are these young players who are getting negative feedback and all those quotes from Jacques, fantastic quotes for the fans. If you're playing on his team and you're a young, like, disgruntled player who's pissed off that you're being held accountable for the first time in your life, that's not going to go over well. So we shouldn't be surprised when these guys aren't going to be buying into whatever new system they're being presented by Jacques and even Alfie. Because, like, why the fuck should we care? You won't be here in a few months. So I don't think bringing in a new coach sooner is going to result in a better result for the end of the season. I do think bringing in a new coach who's going to be here for a while is going to improve the start to next season. The longer that whoever the new coach is going to have to run out the rest of this year, at the very least, then you can go into the offseason with your guy on the bench and then at least start getting input from him on moves for the offseason, stuff like that. If this team is running with Jacques for the rest of the season and then they start looking for a coach, bring in a coach in mid-July, like, how is that going to help the start for next season? I think this team is in desperate need of a permanent replacement for coach, someone that will be here next year, and someone that they're going to have to be forced to buy in on, like, whatever system they're trying to be sold. So, that's my weird little rambling bit on my coaching opinion. There are rumors that they're looking at a few names. I think it was Berube who has been rumored. So, like, I would do that. Honestly, I think I would. I don't know. I mean, that's the thing too, right? Like, the options for the coaching options mid season are limited, to say the least. I think you're better off. Or I don't know if you're better off waiting until the off season. It depends on who they're looking for. I think you're better off waiting until the off season if you want a longer list of options. But, like, if Berube's their guy, just do it now. Just do it now. Let's see. Here we go. From Arham Productions, I'm on Ride It Out. Getting hosed for years in the draft lottery means we're due, right? Yeah, that's fair. And then Exhausted Father of Three says, Tank, the team is ruinous. They need a fresh start, a new arena perhaps. Adam Firebear says we need Talk It 2.0. This is good. A lot of opinions. And I don't know. I don't have, how do I put this? I just got over the fact that I'm okay after they lose, right? Like, I was furious through November and, like, majority of December when I was seeing these kinds of games. I've just gotten to the point where I'm accepting what happens, and I'm trying my best to not let it affect my mood. If I go full tank mode, then I start getting mad when they win. I can't do it. I can't handle that. I can't do it this year. I can't. So I'm in full ride it out mode. If they keep tanking and end up with a top quality pick, awesome. If they start to right the ship with a replacement in the coaching department and things start to look better, and maybe they do a couple of deadline moves, you know, ship out any rentals and maybe make some roster changes with like changes with the next couple seasons in mind, fine. Like, just do, like, something has to change. I don't know what the right thing to change is, but something needs to change because this team is too loaded and too filled with star power to be one of the worst teams in the league. From Exhausted Father of Three, I'd love to see the Sens playing at TD Arena while the new stadium is developed. That would be cool. It would never happen, though. I mean, they're going to stick it out in Canada until the first day that you can go to a game in that new hypothetical, hopefully will eventually happen, downtown arena. I'm just going to say downtown, even if it's LeBreton. People saying LeBreton's not downtown, I don't care. I grew up in Barrhaven. Okay, I grew up in Barrhaven. I have such a wide, like, when I say downtown, I am casting a very wide net. To me, Little Italy is downtown, basically. The Glebe is downtown. Like, it's all downtown. Like, once you get to, like, Bronson, you're downtown, as far as I'm concerned. Let's see. From Dominicus, this feels far worse than any point of last season. You are so correct. You are so right. And the reasoning behind that is expectations are brutal. Expectations are so rough. Around the trade deadline last year, playoffs looked doable. Right around the time they acquired Chychrun, playoffs looked like a possibility, and then they just kind of had an end of the season that was not quite as bad, but, like, you know, almost as bad as their start, and just kind of played themselves out. At one point, they were, like, just a few points out of the playoffs with, like, a handful of games in hand. So would have been nice to see them sneak into the playoffs last year, but I think last year, just any success that we got to see as fans of this team felt like a bonus. This year has been, even like, I think so far this year they've played worse than last year. And I do think that even if they finish this year with a similar number of points to last year, like, the difference is last year we're going, because I don't know. I mean, I think some Sens fans were hoping for playoffs last year heading into the season. I was not really one of them. In my interview with the bosses here at SDPN during the hiring process, one of the questions they asked me was, where do you see the Sens finishing the season? And I said, granted, a little bit optimistically, I said they'd be the best team in the East outside of the playoffs. They weren't quite that good, but they were, you know, like, they were a few games going a different way, and they would have been in the playoffs. So even then, I wasn't the most optimistic Sens fan on the planet. This year, I had them as a lock for the playoffs. I genuinely thought that goaltending would decide between this team being a wild card team or having a home ice advantage. And I'll wear that one. That was a bad take. That was a really, really bad take. And I don't think that's me being a homer, because this is the first year in I don't know how long that I had any sort of playoff hopes. Which I think that's exactly why this is so much worse than any point last season. For myself, and I'm sure any of you who also had genuine playoff hopes for the first time since, I don't know, I guess like the 17-18 season, we all thought the team was going to go on a run again. I mean, they had just gone to the Eastern Conference Final. Then they came back from Sweden and lost. What was it? Didn't they win one of their next 13 after Sweden that year? Anyway, at least the return from Sweden wasn't as bad this year, but it still feels brutal. Yeah, Corpusalo is just like FML. Why did I agree to come to Canada? And it's brutal. And that, oh my God, I did say earlier that I wasn't going to talk about the whole goaltending versus defensive systems thing, but, like, that dude deserves, like, these guys need to be taking him out to dinner, because not even, like, because I know it's usually people say something like that when it's like, wow, that goalie stole that in the game. Like, these guys are, it's a good thing Corpusalo signed a long-term deal, because he is playing to the best of his ability and he's being let out to dry every night. If this dude signed a one-year deal, This team is playing so poorly in front of him, I wouldn't be surprised if he would have struggled to get an NHL contract next season. Like, if you don't watch the Sens games and you just look at his stats, this team is sewering him. It's awful. This team needs a massive shakeup in the offseason. Yeah. The problem is, I don't know what that is. I'm seeing people on Twitter saying, like posting their list of, like, here are my, like, untouchables, and then here are my, like, if it's a really good offer, and then, like, ship out at the deadline. Like, there people posting that, and I'm trying to figure, like, who are my untouchables on this team? And it's tough to narrow that down. My untouchables list is probably like 4 or 5 guys, I would say. From Dennis in the chat, San Marino Pizza in Barrhaven is goated. I've actually never had the pizza from San Marino. I've only ever gotten food from San Marino one time. I was at a friend's house. I don't know when this was, in high school. And her mom was like, hey, we're ordering San Marino from San Marino. Here's the menu. Get what you want. And I didn't order pizza. I got a pizza sub. I think it was probably good. But sorry to disappoint you. I've never had the pizza from San Marino Pizza. The team needs group therapy. The team should tune into one of these episodes, because I feel like we're running group therapy for Ottawa Senators fans every night. That's what we're here for. Actually, I shouldn't even spin it that way. This is more for me than for you guys, for all you folks tuning in. I can say, like, oh, look at this. We're all getting through it together. This is me sitting in my room. It doesn't feel as sad when I have a guest or if I'm on the show with Mod. When it's just me sitting in my room at my desk, just looking at my computer, talking into my microphone to nobody in particular, just the wonderful folks at home tuning in. It's times like this that I realize that it's for me. It's for me to just spew whatever is in my head after watching this team disappoint the entire fan base once again. Yeah, I don't know what else to say about this game. Just a really, really rough stretch of time being a Sens fan. I've said this before too. This says a lot given how last season went, and also how the current offseason is going. But I'm a diehard Toronto Blue Jays fan, and last season was painful, very painful. This offseason is maybe even more painful than last season was. The Sens have me counting down the days until the baseball season starts again. It's not good. It's really not good. It's pretty rough. So, I think with that, we'll call it. We're going to do a short one tonight. It's 1 a.m. Not a whole lot left to talk about with this one. So I think we're just going to call it there. I can't, I usually try to aim for closer to, like, you know, 45 minutes or an hour, but I there's nothing left to talk about for this game. That's it. We'll just leave it. There's going to be a lot more to talk about in the coming games, because we have some interesting matchups. So before I go, I will kind of preview the next couple of episodes of Game Over that you can find myself or Mod doing. The next one is actually not going to be a Game Over Ottawa, but it will, actually the next two. It's a Western road trip. The next two games you won't be seeing Game Over. Here we go. Ottawa down there. I nailed it. Game Over Ottawa down there. For those who don't know, we're doing head to head episodes now. So whenever two Canadian teams are playing each other, the host team is going to be hosting the stream, and then a host from both shows will be on there. So for anyone who couldn't find game over Ottawa for the Tuesday game against Vancouver. That was on Game Over Vancouver, and it was myself and Sam from the Vancouver show. So Saturday night, Sens are playing the Oilers, and that's going to have it's going to be Mod on with Zach from Game Over Edmonton. And then the next game following that to round out that Western road trip that has been so brutal. Tuesday, the Flames. It's going to be myself and Audie. And I think we might just talk about Blue Jays the whole time, depending on how that goes. Because I think Audie and I are both at the point now where we're both just so sick of talking about our favorite hockey team. We're just going to go full on and just, it's going to be nothing but Toronto Blue Jays. That's not true. This is a hockey show. We're going to stick to hockey, but it's like, I'm telling you, at least one of us is going to message the other saying, I would much rather talk about baseball, because we are both just miserable hockey fans right now. So yeah, then those are going to be the next couple of shows, a couple of head-to-head episodes with the Western Canadian hosts, which it's a lot of fun. Those episodes are a blast. So if you can, I highly recommend tuning in. Again, those are going to be late ones again. That Oilers game is at 10 and the Flames game is going to be at 9. So it's going to be a late one. So hopefully you guys are okay with staying up. And yeah, with that, we'll call it a night. Thanks everyone for tuning in if you're watching it live. And hey, if you're watching this either live or after the fact, make sure to like the stream and subscribe to SDPN, because we are closing in on 100,000 subscribers. We are so close. So let's get to that 100,000 subscriber mark. And again, thank you everyone for tuning in. Really appreciate it, especially on these late ones and late ones where there's a loss. You guys could be going to bed, but instead you're here keeping me company while I vent in my bedroom. So thank you everyone so much for tuning in again. We'll see you again soon. Have a great night.